been rolling it over and over and over, thinking on so many different things. You just don't have enough time tonight to preach it. You ever felt like that, Brother Freddie? Just not enough time. But pray that the Lord would give us the liberty to set it forth in the time we have. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, 10th verse, first phrase. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, this was the eminent Apostle Paul writing this. Writer of 14 of the 27 New Testament books. I read somewhere, Paul might have been the greatest theologian we've had in the church. I thought about that for a second. I said, no doubt he was. What he said was inspired of God. What you're saying is just your opinion. You know, all the rest of them, all the theologians today, all that they're giving you is their opinion. But brother, Paul was inspired to pin down the words that he penned down. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That just doesn't mean the Old Testament. That means the New Testament also. By the grace of God, I am what I am. First tonight, I want to go and I want to look at Paul's introduction to us in the book of Acts. See, all the different ones, they're introduced to us. Timothy's introduced to us, like Brother said, Timotheus. Honor, respect. But you know, Paul's introduction to us, here's the way Luke introduced him. Listen to this. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, that's speaking of Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Oh, what an introduction. But can't you think about this, Paul? Now, if we'd asked some of his friends to introduce him, it would probably have been quite different. Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have with us today an eminent man in the Jews' religion. He was circumcised the eighth day. I mean, he's right on the money of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Not only a Pharisee, but he's the son of a Pharisee. It is such a great honor for us to have him here today. Such a great honor it is for us to let him care for our coats. Why? We know he is too proud to run off with them. That's about what I get out of this introduction. I mean, it's not very uplifting, is it? Now, I've been introduced one time, well, especially one time, and I didn't think it was too uplifting. I went to a church, and I was there at filling in that day, or because, well, they didn't have a pastor was leaving, and He got me to come preach for him that Sunday. The song leader finished. He says, "Well, I guess y'all see we have a visiting preacher today," and went and sat down. Of course, you know, I got a little bit of that flesh in me too. I walked up, and they all knew me. I mean, I'd been there a bunch of times. They knew me. I said, "I'm J.E. Griffiths. My membership's over at Eureka Church. It's about 35 or 40 miles east of here." I introduced myself. But yeah, I'm just thinking about this introduction. Look how the scripture introduces the Apostle Paul to us. But we want to look back at Paul's background. And I'm talking about a scriptural background this morning. I mean, or this afternoon. I'm not talking about all the stuff that I read in some of the writings on the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm sure some of them's good, but sometimes I read things that don't agree with other things. So I don't really know what to believe on them. Of course, Paul, he was born in the city of Tarsus. Directly went to Jerusalem at a very young age. Very prosperous in the study. Studied under the greatest teacher in Jerusalem at that time, Gamaliel. It was an honor to sit and listen to Gamaliel teach. He was a wise man, but I don't have time to go into all that tonight. Yes, the Apostle Paul, he tells us in Galatians 1 and 13, of course, he tells them how that he had received the gospel, "For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past, my manner of lifestyle in times past in the Jews' religion." He emphasizes that over and over, in the Jews' religion. So he is simply talking about the Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament worship. Why do you think they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when he come? It's because he did not show respect unto the Jews' religion. How many times did he say, you've heard it said by them of old times, or you've heard it said by the fathers, but I say unto you. He was correcting something. And brother, he was getting on their toes with their traditions. Did you know people don't like that? You don't like that? Oh, ain't no traditions in the Friendly Baptist now. Surely y'all don't have none of them up here. Now in deep South Georgia, where my roots are, and right across the line from North Florida, I have a good pastor friend. He's been here before. He was talking to a deacon one time, and he told the deacon, "Now here's what the Bible says." The deacon says, "I don't know what the Bible says, but I know what our decorum says." I know what our decorum says. Those decorums are nothing but traditions. That's all they are. That's what they are, traditions. Now let's look back in Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees," "which were of Jerusalem, These were not just scribes and any Pharisees in any part of the country. They were from Jerusalem. Notice this. Paul was from Jerusalem. Watch it. They asked Jesus this question. Why do thy disciples, sir? That's the way this probably thinking it. Why do thy disciples transgress the what? Tradition of the elders. Do you get to catch that? Now the Jews' religion, they had, I've read several places, so I'll repeat this one. They said the Jews' religion taught this. Says now, the teachings of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, are both weighty and light. But the teachings of the fathers are all weighty. Put more emphasis on the teachings of man than they did on what God said. Is it happening today? Is it happening today? It can even happen in old Baptist churches, folks.
Amen.
It can even happen in our churches.
Amen.
You know, I think we need to sometime just stop and examine our traditions we have. Don't you? Yes, we do. Notice what he said here. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. I wonder what they'd have done if they'd have been out in the field and worked all morning cropping the bark or picking cotton. And somebody come out there with a sandwich and they were about to starve to death. You reckon they'd look for a wash pot to wash their hands? No. Sometimes those traditions don't hold when you're under real stress, do they?
That's right.
All right, now watch this. But he answered them, said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? What? They were worried about transgressing the commandments of the elders. Christ says, but you're transgressing the commandments of God. We're fixing to see some extremism. Y'all ever heard of extremism? You ever watch TV today? Ever watch the news? Do you hear about some extremism? All right, let's look on over right fast another verse. Ninth verse. Or eighth verse. The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Been my experience in observing things that when men comes up with something and starts an organization of some kind, it's either going to do one of two things if it stands very long. It's going to the extreme to the left, or it's going to the extreme to the right. What had happened to the Pharisees who were once very honorable people? I mean, did a good work. Go study them. You'll be interested in it. They were very honorable. But they brought in their own things, and what happened? They went to the extreme. Question. Who gave them the right to put Stephen to death. They did not have that right to put a man to death. When Christ come, they had to go to the Romans because that right had been taken away from them. And they could not put a man to death legally. But boy, I tell you what, when Stephen got to shelling the corn on them, telling them the truth, preaching like, you know, when the old prophet come to David and he says, "Thou art the man." And that's what Stephen was doing to them. Brother, he was putting points and fingers at them probably. Did they like it? No, they run on him gnashing him with their teeth. And they drew him out. And they stoned him. By what authority did they do that? Question. Have you heard about Islamic terrorism? ISIS? Or ISIL, as the president wants to say? Have you heard about them? What do you think about them? What do you think about them? Probably don't have too high an opinion of them, do you? Not too high an opinion of them. They're putting people to death. They're putting people to death. But what did Paul tell us in Acts 26 and 9, also in 22? Acts 26 and 9. Let me get there. I verily thought with myself, now notice who he was thinking with. He wasn't thinking with "Thus saith the Lord." He was thinking with himself. You ever had a hard time proving something with yourself? You ever had a hard time just convincing yourself you needed a new car? How many times has that got people in so much trouble? We're easy to convince ourselves, aren't we? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I gave false witness against them to see them put to death. Was he guilty of murder? Guilty of murder, was he not? Was David guilty of murder? When he put Uriah the Hittite, one of his 30 closest friends, on the front line so that he would be killed? Which is worse tonight? What Paul did or what ISIS is doing? Both of them was religious terrorism. Both of them was religious terrorism. We need to stop and think about these things sometimes, don't we, before we start jumping down other people's throats. Might examine ourselves a little bit. I mean, what the Jews were doing is just as bad as what ISIL has been doing. Read church history, folks. Look at the history of the church. And there hasn't been a time when the church wasn't having someone doing to them what the Jews' religion began to do. You can trace the Jews' religion down through many of these other offsets. Many of them, the principles, are near the same. But here's the Apostle Paul. Brother Griffiths, you calling this Emma apostle a murderer and an extremist tonight? Sounds like that's exactly what I'm doing. Sounds like that's exactly what I'm doing. And you know why I'm doing it? Because he was. What would you have been doing if you had been there at that time? Most of you are religious folks. You know, most of you are religious folks. Most of us, we're interested in things religious. What if we'd been taught things like that? What if we'd been taught? I tell you, we've been taught enough stuff that we don't need. Section of the country I was raised up in, we had plenty. Take no thought of what you're going to say when you go in the pulpit, because the Lord will fill your mouth. All you got to do is go in the pulpit and just open your mouth, and the Lord will fill it. Y'all ever heard that one? I had an uncle who was a pretty good sport. He was a member of the old Big Creek Church down in southeast Georgia. They were having the annual cleanup day. You know, the annual, getting ready for the big meet, the annual cleanup day. So my uncle, it's kind of his duty to go up and sweep out and clean out the pulpit. So he walked up there, and he walked up to the book board, and he bumped it like the preachers used to real hard. Everybody looked. He stood there, and he opened his mouth real wide. He said, "Nothing come out of mine." But that's exactly what he had been taught. That's all he had to do, is go into the pulpit and open his mouth. I'm thankful that one's pretty well gone.
Amen.
But it's not gone.
Almost.
It's not gone because I got into it, do it with an elder not too many months ago. But what was Paul, is he any better than Esau is today? No. He was just as guilty, wasn't he? Brother Jay, we just need to go over there and we need to wipe those people off the map. How many of you has thought that? Now raise your hand if you don't mind thinking it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for some truthful folks. Now the rest of you want to confess? We'll do that individually. Now think about it. I've had those thoughts too. I got to raise both hands. I've had a lot of them. But think about this. Brother Clayton taught us wonderfully tonight.
Amen.
About love.
Amen.
Do y'all believe Revelations 5 and 9? That God has a people. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Every nation that has been upon the earth, God has had a people among them. Everyone that will be, everyone that is, He has a people. Now, what should really be our response to work for people like that? Certainly we got to defend ourselves. I'm not standing up here as a pacifist and says, no, we should not defend ourselves, because we should.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before we start firing, you reckon a little praying might help a little bit?
Amen.
You reckon the God that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea could roll back a battalion of ISIL?
Amen.
Do you have the right of access to the throne of grace? Yes, we do, don't we? And we can come speaking timidly. No, we can come speaking boldly. Boldly. Why don't we as a group make it a point this next week to pray for God's elect among ISIL? The grace of God is still just as viable today. Just as viable today. There's so much could be said on this, but our time is limited here. I could go through and give you all the times that Paul had confessed, you know, his persecution of the church. I just believe it bothered him.
Yeah.
Have you ever done something that just keeps on bothering you?
Yes.
You confess it to the Lord, but it's still a little weight there. I mean, it's not, we're not laying awake at night about it, you know, like some things can make you do. But you still wish you hadn't have done them. And I believe the Apostle Paul was like that. He would have loved not to come up in the Jews' religion like he did. But he made the best of his situation when the Lord appeared to him.
Amen.
Called him by his grace into his service. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said, I can't take any claim. No claim whatsoever. Can you? Can you? I'll close out with what he wrote in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me.
That's right.
Paul says, I have a new ability that I didn't once have.
Right.
Every minister that has stood in this pulpit today and preached the gospel was preaching under an enablement that he was not born with.
Amen.
It was God's blessing upon him. It was God's grace that was showered upon him. Notice it. Enable me for to be counted faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Notice Paul didn't say grace here. He said, I obtained mercy. Now, the guilt is not looking for grace so much. He's looking for mercy.
Amen.
When you go to the judge and plead for his mercy, you're saying, I am guilty. I'm guilty, and I need some mercy. Now, he can grant you some grace. But brother, you need mercy, don't you? And Paul realized he needed mercy for what he was. And I haven't even gotten into the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Because you read all down through those woes, and all those were to Paul also, because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But look, he says, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. But I obtained mercy. Well, Brother Griffin says if you obtained it, he must have done something to make up for it a little bit. Second epistle to Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Did you see a word obtained there? We have obtained this. Does you good to do a little word studying sometimes, folks. That word obtained there means obtained by lot. It's the same word used when the children of Israel was allotted their heritage in Israel. Faith was allotted to them. It was given to them by grace. And Paul, the mercy was allotted to Paul. He received that mercy through the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'll read the rest of it now. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God. This man come to appreciate grace. When you look in the mirror in the morning, just ask you this one question. Do I deserve to have the blessings of the Lord that I'm enjoying? When you're at the throne of grace, please remember your prayers.